Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined by Wade Smith. You're listening to Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. I'm sitting there watching a national championship game last night, and I find myself being absolutely furious at Bill O'Brien and the Texans offense. And it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple to me, right? It starts with last week. We have Dan Orlovsky on our show. What day was that, Wade? Thursday. We have Dan Orlovsky on our show. It's leading up to the divisional round playoff game between the Houston Texans and who they play? The Kansas City Chiefs,
Kansas
right?
Kansas City Chiefs, baby.
Trying to forget about it, man, but I can't. And this is what Dan Orlovsky had to say about Bill O'Brien, the play caller, essentially.
Now, I think most people think of Deshaun Watson as one of the most special quarterbacks in the NFL. I'll be honest with you guys. I think most people look at Bill O'Brien as a head coach that might be holding him back somewhat. So if Bill O'Brien can get this win, that's going to go a long way in changing the narrative about him tied to and what he can do for Deshaun Watson and catapulting him into kind of superstar.
I agree that it would have gone a long way. The point is that we are now sitting here Tuesday afternoon, and that did not happen. They did not have a good outing. They did not validate what Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson may be as a team moving forward. To me, it raised more concerns. Wade, so I go back to Dan Orlovsky, and I go, what does that mean to me where we sit right now today, right? And to me, what that means is it validates – our concerns, right? To hear when you know when national media types and I love Dan Orlovsky, so I don't mean that negatively. And hell, I'm one, and we're talking heads, so I'm not throwing.
Dano is one of the best in the business.
I'm not throwing any darts.
You got to qualify that guy. Right. That guy's legit.
He's the best. So when you hear the best in the business, former quarterback, knows what the hell's going on. When he's got those concerns, it validates what we talk about every day on this radio.
Yeah, okay? Man, yeah.
And so there's a serious. My point is there's a serious concern. There. I'm sitting there watching that national title game last night. I can't help but think about it. And I'm looking at it like this, Wade. I see college, not one, but two college offenses doing things very, very well that I don't even see the Texans attempt to apply or improve upon, and it absolutely infuriates me.
Yeah.
It absolutely infuriates me, bro.
Well, listen, you got to look at Deshaun Watson. Remember the audio he said the other day where he was watching the Clemson game and he said, man, I was watching him. I could call out the players. I knew everything
that they were doing.
The offense is already it's made for him to utilize to win a national championship. Why not utilize the same thing here at the NFL level?
Why not?
It's confusing me. I don't understand.
Let me tell you what I saw last night, Wade. And you saw it. Hell, you watched the game. Both offenses used tempo multiple times last night to create an advantage. I mean, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it and say that LSU, and I may be wrong on which one it was because both of them were doing it so damn well, right? But one of the teams goes down, big play, down to like the 4 or 5 yard line. They run up there and they're fixing to bang another play, and the defensive coordinator has to call a timeout because he wasn't prepared for the goal line situation. They went from a field situation to a goal line situation.
Yeah.
And they used tempo to get there. So the other team, the opposing team, had to bang a timeout. So you can look at it and say the other team wasn't prepared. I choose in that situation to look at it as one team knows how to use tempo. Actually, both of them do. But that at that point in time, that offense knew how to use tempo, and they did it multiple times throughout the game to gain an advantage. When I say gain an advantage, I mean – not only get a receiver open or get a mismatch, but get a team to waste timeouts.
Yeah.
Right? To get a team into a chaotic situation where you can then take advantage of them. And it was absolutely beautiful to watch two colleges do it. And we've been wanting to see that for 18 games this year with the Texans. And we very rarely saw it, if at all.
And I tell you what, I don't want people to take this and think to themselves, well, if you go tempo, then you can't win the time of possession. You're going to be giving the ball back up too quick. That's not the tempo we're talking about here. We're talking about utilizing tempo as an advantage to either get the defense in a position that they don't want to be in, force them to use a timeout right. that they want to use, utilize back-to-back plays because you found out something that they could not stop.
Tell me this, though, Wade. Tell me this. You said time of possession.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed if the Texans are more aggressive, high-scoring oriented than they are time of possession guys in the league?
I would much rather them score a bunch of points than be time of possession guys. But what I'm saying is you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, you can be a tempo team,
but then also win the time of possession, because what you're trying to do is use tempos to move the chains, keep the ball away from your opponent, not use tempo to have big explosive plays 60, 70 yards down the field.
Got a couple more for you, bro.
What's up?
Clemson. And it pains me because it's the same school that Deshaun Watson went to, obviously, same coaching staff. But I saw Clemson get a 6'5", long-legged, essentially rocket arm quarterback on the edge with creative routes to get the ball out quick, to convert third downs, and it was a work of art, my man.
Yeah.
And, again, those are things that when you got Deshaun Watson using tempo and getting him on the edge with good, quick, easy throws, and I say easy, I'm saying easy for Deshaun Watson, not for me. These are 15-yard speed cut out routes, right? These are flood concepts with layers to the sideline so that your quarterback has options. I'm sitting there watching it every time. Who was calling that game last night? Herb Street. Every time Herb Street goes, man, that's a great job of getting big Lawrence on the edge and getting him a good line of sight and a good easy throw. I just cringe. I just cringe and I go, man, why? How come we ain't watching that on Sunday?
Were you feeling a little envious?
Come on, man.
Feeling a little jealous?
I'm just sitting there going, damn it, man. What's going on here? I got a third one for you. LSU, right? I think it was a work of art, bro, when they were clearly confused at the beginning of the game in how they were going to protect Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Right. Clemson's getting to him.
Yeah.
They got pinned deep a couple times. Clemson's getting to him. And it was an absolute work of art of how they started using. You know how teams in college always use the look to the sideline thing to get a play? And, mm-hmm. and most of the time, that's a full-blown play. It was blatantly obvious early in that game that Joe Burrow was looking to the sideline for protection. The receivers weren't moving. The receivers weren't even looking at the sideline. They knew what the call was. There was a line dance going on between Joe Burrow, the sideline, and Joe Brady and Emsminger in the box, trying to figure out what the hell was going on from a protection standpoint. And you know what? The part that drives me crazy, Wade?
What's that?
Is by about midway through the first quarter, they had a bead on that joker.
Yeah.
And they were protecting Burrow and slinging that thing all over the park. And we watched the damn Texans over here. And when the game's on the line against Buffalo – Deshaun Watson's got to make a Superman play because there's none of that going on to protect a man.
Yeah, when you look at what you saw with Joe Burrow doing LSU do, they're trying to figure out what type of blitzes that Clemson is going to bring, where they're bringing pressure from, figuring out you're doing that from the line of scrimmage. That's an advantage you have by going up tempo and being on the line and not huddling. You get to the line, you force the defense to show their hand, and then you can work off of that, get your protection set up right. That's been something that the Texans have struggled with all year long, is figuring out the best protection schemes to handle certain blitz and pressures from the interior and off the edges. It's been something they dealt with last year against the Colts in the playoffs. It's something they improved on from that slot blitz, but it didn't improve to a level that it needed to get to. You got to understand that Deshaun Watson, most of the times he was getting hit, it was because they were bringing extra guys, or they were bringing guys from spots where you should have been picked up if the protecting scheme was set up better. Yeah. And that was an issue that they had all year.
Well, Wade, to me, it's one of those deals where you look at it and you go, regardless of whether it was on Deshaun or it was on the scheme or it was the receiver went too deep, the fact that it is what it is, and then we turn the TV on and watch two offenses go at it and have no – and like, I thought Joe Burrow and LSU was in trouble. In the first two possessions, I'm going – man, I may have been wrong on that LSU pick.
Yeah.
And then you start, you watch them, boom, they're just figuring it out. It's so beautiful. And the whole goal was they figured out where they were going to bring pressure from, how they were going to bring it, how they were going to protect him, and then it was on and popping. And that's just the fact that the Texans offense can't figure out how to be better with protections and use the very, very small things to create advantages for the players, it's borderline criminal, man.
That's the problem when you got to think about what's going on over there. There's ways that you can dictate to opposing teams, but if you're going to never use tempo, if you're going to never dictate to another team, you're going to struggle. That's no question. And that's what you're getting out of the Texans right now. They're struggling picking up blitzes. They're struggling keeping Deshaun Watson upright because they get to the line, they chill for a little bit, they're going to figure it out, and then they're going to run a play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're not going to utilize the tip. And then what I didn't understand watching that game is you're down 10 points, you're down 17 points. You didn't even go tempo at that point of the game. When you're early in the game, if you're not going to use it to your advantage to get a lead and keep a lead and sustain a lead, once you get down, I don't understand why you're not utilizing tempo at that point in the game. Why are you not utilizing no huddle?
Yeah.
And so to me, that just tells me that that's not in the thought process. That's not something that they felt like was going to be in the best interest to win that game. And you see how it ended up turning out. That's the part where you have to question the decision-making that was going on over there.
Well, to me, that's the one thing, the most important thing that has to change is that offensive approach, that offensive in-game play calling, using tempo, using small things to create advantage. I just think that has to change. And I think it's likely to change as well. I think you're wasting another year, Deshaun Watson, if you just keep doing the same old things. That's Wade Smith. I'm Clint Stern. You're listening to Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Wade, there's another quarterback, obviously. There's another quarterback in the news that has some Houston ties. Former U of H starting quarterback De'Eriq King, he officially announces that he has entered the transfer portal. Now, here's De'Eriq King, I guess, I don't know, a few months back when he decided to take the unorthodox route of redshirting his senior year to allow him another year of eligibility.
Never thought about leaving, never thought about transferring, any of that. To be honest with you, I didn't think about redshirting. I didn't think about doing any of this until everything was on the table. Until we had a conversation, an open conversation with me, Coach Ferguson, my family, Coach Ferguson, and the coaching staff. So that's really all it came from.
That was roughly week two or three of the college football season when he decided to redshirt, sit the year out. The team didn't start out the way that they thought it possibly could with a new coach in Dana Holgorsen, and he decided to, again, unorthodox route to redshirt, but I can't say that I blame him. Looking back on it, if I'm in his shoes, if I'm his family, There's rules out there in today's game where you can, you can take a pass. You got up to four games. You play in those four games. If you don't go beyond those four games, you have the opportunity to redshirt that year. I thought it was a creative way for a player and his family to use this. There was some controversy around it. I totally understand that as well. But it gave him an opportunity to get another year of college ball, and it gave him the opportunity to possibly have a chance at the next level. Now, his head coach, current head coach over at U of H, Dana Holgorsen, he also commented at the same time when De'Eriq King commented on his redshirt year.
He's a special player, you know, and there's a lot of coaches out there that cheat, you know. So, you know, I mean, he's going to be up here in May. You guys ask him questions and everything, but, you know, all indications are he's not going in the transfer portal. So if he's not in the transfer portal, it's kind of against NCAA rules and regulations to be pursuing that, so to speak. So I got no reason to believe that. I've never got the impression that De'Eriq is leading me astray in anything over the last 9 months. He's a wonderful kid. He's a Houstonian. He's a Houston Cougar. He chose to come to this school.
I tell you what it is. He's officially in the transfer portal, so now he can, quote-unquote, be recruited by other schools. I think we'd be a fool to think that other schools didn't reach out throughout this season in one way, shape, or form. In today's world, all these players know each other. They work out together. They throw, they catch. They work their feet. They get in a weight room together. There's definitely some conversation that was had. But he's officially in the transfer portal, Wade Smith. What do you think this means for the future of De'Eriq King?
Well, I think he's going to go to somewhere that is a Power 5 program and have an opportunity to play with the best against the best. And you can't blame a guy that's playing at the U of H in a Group of 5 conference. I know myself playing at the University of Memphis. There's a different pecking order and a different tier of everything when you talk about facilities, when you talk about places that you can live on and off campus, that are just your lifestyle as a student athlete when you're in a Power 5 school versus a Group of 5 school. It's very difficult to walk away from or turn your back on that allure. That's why people were so excited about Ed Oliver, the fact that he chose to go to U of H over all the different schools that he had opportunity to go to. You can't blame De'Aaron King for utilizing the flexibility that the red shirt and the transfer portal gives to him. You know what I mean? There's some big time schools that are looking for his services. And if you have the ability to go to these places and potentially play for a national championship or potentially, you know, play against the best, if you want to make it to the NFL, your road becomes easier if you go to those type of schools. So you can't blame the kid for using the flexibility that's been afforded to him by the rules of the NCAA.
Yeah, look, Wade, I said it when it happened. I was like, you know, I believe the kid. I think he's genuine, sincere. I mean, I've talked to Major Applewhite when he was over there as a quarterback. I mean, as the head coach, he loved the kid. He's a great kid, high character kid. So this isn't about character. This isn't about quitting on a team. This isn't about anything other than the kid red shirts. It sends a message. Schools start recruiting him. There's no doubt about it. And then the last week of the season, I went to an LSU Arkansas game at LSU in Death Valley at night.
Yeah.
You'd mean to tell me that any kid in his right mind that had the opportunity to go do something like that is at least gonna flip that stone.
I tell you what, man, you just look at the LSU hype videos. I watched about three or four of those hype videos on their road to the national championship, and I was like, damn,
come on.
Maybe I should have been a better high school athlete. I might have had an opportunity to play at LSU, man. But it's hard to fight against that allure of going to a program like that, especially how well they played this entire season. Got Ed O there. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a place they ended up.
I got to believe LSU's a front runner. It's a plug-and-play school where they need a quarterback. Miles Brennan's a good quarterback. I don't know that he's good enough to literally allow this football team to not miss a beat. I believe that De'Aaron King in LSU's offense is an absolute problem for the rest of the country. He's obviously electric with his feet. And he spins it better than I gave him credit before I went and watched him and before I really studied him. This kid can spin the rock. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not going to drop dimes down the field, you know, at a 90% completion clip.
Right.
But he can spin the rock. He poses different problems. That would have fit. That would be at LSU. The other one, my old alma mater. Imagine that. I don't think we have much of a shot. But Arkansas has hired. Stop
Wu
it.
Wu Pig Suey,
baby. Okay. Woo. Pig, Seward, Razorbacks. Now, look, here's the deal. You got Kendall Briles, who was the offensive coordinator here a year ago with De'Aaron King.
When 50 touchdown, Kendall?
50 tugs, baby. Yeah. I think it was 36 passing and 14 running. I mean, the yards were impressive on both ends of it. So I think Arkansas may be, on the outside looking in, there may be a possibility, but – boy, I'd be surprised if it's not one of those where he goes, I think LSU's a spot for me.
Yeah, I mean, I got love for you and Arkansas is cool and all, but you want to go somewhere to rebuild or you want to go somewhere to plug yourself in and you're competing for a national championship within six to eight months.
Look, you ain't got to tell me twice, man. Is it hot in here to you?
It's a little warmer here. You brought your jacket in here. You thought you was going to be
yesterday
cold.
Yesterday was cold. Yeah. I ain't going to lie to you, though, Wade. I'm liable to get a little funky in here today, Chief.
Dang, you ain't shower good? What's going on? You forgot to put on deodorant this morning?
Forgot to put on deodorant.
It happens every now and again.
I forgot to put on deodorant, and it's a little sticky right now. I ain't going to lie to you. It's a little sticky right now.
Fortunately, I'm far enough away I shouldn't have to deal with it too much, especially if you don't, as long as you don't start doing some calisthenics, jumping jacks, anything like that in here.
Ooh.
I think we'll be good.
Hey man, I'm a hygiene guy too. You and I both talked about this funky breath and like body odor and stuff like that.
Deal breaker, baby. It's
hard for me to wrap my head around. And I forget my deodorant every now and then, but I don't ever remember like where I can, like only time I smell myself is if I get my hand up over my head or something.
Yeah.
And I look that direction and my nose is that close. And I'm for the most part, I'm pretty clean, old boy. But if you get a hint of body odor over there, it's coming.
I'll just tell you to put the jacket back on, bro. Cover it back up.
Cover it back up. Oh man. Today at 3:35, we'll be joined by Radio.com Sports MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony Gwynn, by the way, his pops, one of my favorite baseball players of all times. Loved him growing up. Tony Gwynn Jr., he'll join us at 3:35 with a look at the punishments handed down by Major League Baseball and the decision by the Astros to fire A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. Tony is brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.